Welcome to the Stephen Shaw PT podcast. I'm here today with my good mara, Chris Morris of Clear Fitness UK again. Hello, Christopher.
Hello, mate.
All right. Right, as I've just been saying to Chris off air there, I have normally got a big script and questions and all kinds of stuff, and I haven't today. I've got a couple of topics, a couple of questions from people that we'll just go through, and then we'll take it from there and see where we end up. We could end up, we might be finishing 5 minutes, or might be on an hour, who knows. Right, okay, first question I've got, oh, there's me phone away as well, let's turn that off. I've got people texting us for tips from Cheltenham, and have you had any bets on this week or not?
Nah, mate, I've stayed away from it. I know nothing about horses.
I know nothing at all. I've just been going off. One of my mates has got a horse, and I've just been trusting in him. And I started with 20 quid at the start of the week. Well, I said I'd have a tenner a day, and he turned me tenner into 23 quid. And then the next day, I said, right, I'm just going to use that. And that went up to 240. And then I've banked the 200 and I've bet the 40 today. And I'm back to, well, I'm on 37 quid and I've still got two horses to run in a lucky 15. So I might win a grand or I might be 3 quid down for the day. So I'll take that.
So not bad for someone that knows how good horses
are. Exactly. So that's not a bad week. Not a bad week at all. Right. First question is from Julie. And Julie is from Quarrington Hill, which, so her question is, how do you get electricity? Quarrington Hill, out in the sticks. Anyway, sorry, Julie, I'll actually ask you a question. Right, her question is, how do you hit, or what's the best way to hit your protein target? Or I suppose she's really asking what kind of things have got protein in, because she struggles, I think. So what would you say to that, mate?
The first thing, I get this from quite a few clients and stuff, especially new clients that I take on, really struggle to hit protein targets. Mm-hmm. I think the most important part is starting the day with protein.
Right.
As in some sort of protein and breakfast. For the most part, with people that are just starting out on kind of trying to eat healthy, eggs is a really good one to go for in the morning. Omelettes, they're quite, you can do them all sorts of ways, obviously scrambled, poached, that sort of stuff. You've also got other things to look at, like say, salmon, mackerel, your fishes and stuff that you can have for breakfast.
Yeah.
Other people that can stomach it will have steak for breakfast, which is obviously another good one of protein. Yeah. But I think it's important to make sure your breakfast has protein in and start the day with protein, because obviously it gives you a good start.
Yeah.
And then every meal should have protein in.
Yeah.
As in meat and seafood or fish is your main sources. Mm-hmm. Obviously you can pick kind of protein up from other sources, so your dairy products, nuts. I try not to say nuts too much because they've got a lot more fat in than what they've got protein in.
Would you, if you were sort of going towards macros and stuff, would you put them in with nuts? Sorry, would you put nuts in with fats, or would you put them in with protein?
No, I put them in with fats because they've got like three or four times as much fat as what they've got protein in.
Yeah.
And I don't want people to rely on nuts as a protein source.
Yeah.
So I list them in my fats when I'm giving advice out for stuff like that. Trying to think of other things. Dairy products is a good one. Cottage cheese.
I was just going to say cottage cheese. I think that's one of the main ones that I go for people who, I'm stereotyping, but especially women who, they seem not to be wanting to eat as much meat as men. I think men love meat generally.
Yeah.
I'm making big sweeping statements here, but generally, and I think, like, I know a couple of women and they go, oh yeah, I mean, I love chicken, I have like chicken a couple of times a day, but still, that's probably still only 60-70 grams.
Yeah.
And we're talking people maybe wanting 130-140 grams.
Yeah.
So there's still some way off, and I think cottage cheese is a good way. I mean, it's like the 300-gram pots, I think there's about 30 grams of protein in.
Yeah,
there's no, pretty much no, very low carbs, very low fat. So I think That's a good one.
The other one as well, while we're on kind of cheeses, Cork cheese.
All right, yes.
If you get the kind of original Cork cheese, that's high
that's
in
like
protein
a soft
as well.
Cheese, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't...
The original one's good. When you start getting the flavoured ones, there's a bit more carbs in there and the protein starts to come down, but the original one's really good.
Right. I don't think I've... I don't know if I've had it or not. I'm sure I got some of it a couple of weeks ago.
It's good for
I put it into a recipe. I tried it and I can't even remember what it was, to be honest.
It's good for cooking. Another one, just while I'm thinking of these off the top of my head, Total Greek Yogurt.
Yep.
That's another excellent one. Try and stick with Total, though, because the protein's a lot higher in there than if you're just getting kind of the supermarket make ones.
Yeah. And would you say, because I think you should try and have it, like, vary the sauces. Because I remember, like, studying, like, Paul Check stuff early doors in my career back in the day. And and seeing things, like, his thoughts were that if you have chicken one on a Monday, if you have it again on the Tuesday, your body won't absorb as much of the nutrition or the nutrients from it because it's sort of sick of chicken, basically. So that you should rotate things like that.
I'm not sure whether I totally agree with that, but I would obviously still recommend, even just because of the nutrition difference that you get from things, especially with likes of fish, you've got your kind of oily fish, which you've got good fats and stuff in there. So I'd still recommend them mixing the sauces up anyway.
Yeah. But so, I mean, I certainly don't think, I think it's just, to begin with anyway, in the early days, which we're probably talking about the most, I think, it's just about the numbers, to be honest. I think just trying to increase the protein sources in any way, shape or form can help people early doors, and then they can start trying to clean it up and try to go Gucci with it and try and hit it perfectly and refine it. But I think early doors, I think it's just a case of just try and eat more protein.
Yeah, I think it, to start with, it is, as you're saying, just hit your targets. Further down the line, if you want to get a bit more geeky with nutrition, then that's fair enough, but get the targets hit first.
Yeah.
I think eggs is a massive one, though, like, especially for, because people, loads of people will eat eggs. Like, there's not many people that turn and say, I'll have eggs for breakfast, and they won't say, oh, well, I'm not having that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you turn and say, start telling people I have steak and stuff like that for breakfast, they turn their nose up at it.
Yeah, especially with the costs as well, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum and dad go, they can't believe how often I have steak a week. I reckon I have steak probably at least 4 days out of seven, maybe five.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's breakfast. When they come, they see us making a steak for breakfast, they're like, whoa, what are you doing? You can't eat a steak for breakfast, that's a waste of money, that. How the fuck can it be a waste of money? I'm eating it. If I give it the dog, that's a waste of money, but I'm eating it. Like, what's wrong with that? But I think it's a generational thing they don't understand.
Oh, it is.
But, so, I mean, I would say I've got these in alphabetical order. Like, I've got them on a list. I would say, well, I've got almond butter and almond milk. But, again, you know, looking at them sort of, your nut butters more towards fats, really. Because, obviously, high calories content. But beef, bison, salmon, tuna, chicken, chickpeas, eggs, yogurts, lentils, pork, rice, milk, tofu, and then, like you say, unsalted nuts and seeds. If you're gonna,
that's another fair one. To be fair, tofu.
Yeah.
If you like it, I absolutely hate it. If I'm honest,
I'm not a fan.
Good protein source if you like it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. And then obviously, if we're sort of, if you can get all them in you, then hopefully you should be close to hitting your protein target. And obviously if not, then that's when you would look at supplementing, maybe have a whey protein. I class whey protein as a food, to be honest.
It's just a dairy product, chicken breasted.
I would have that on as well. Right, cool. Hopefully we've helped you.
I'm sure we've answered that one.
Hopefully. We sort of covered this one in the last one, but, you know, maybe it was only read listened to by two men and a dog. But John from where's he from? Gateshead, I think. He says, and I think this was stemmed from, because one of my clients, one of my female clients, had just taken a delivery of whey protein. And he was like, do we even need supplements, like? And I says, right, John, if you want to discuss this via email, I'll talk to you through it. But we'll go through it with John, for the sake of John from Gated. He probably won't be listening anyway if he is. Hello, John.
He's a Gated lad, so I'll answer him.
do we need supplements? We covered this in the last one, but we'll cover it again because it is a big subject. Do we need supplements? Go on. He's a Gated lad and you're a Gated lad, so you go on.
Do we need supplements? That depends on how good someone's diet is, to be honest. You supplement in the areas that you're not getting your nutrition or not getting that specific food group within your diet. But for an example, as we've already discussed, whey protein powder, if you're not getting enough protein in your diet, that can be a good idea to add that in there. There's also got people that a lot of people that don't like likes of seafood.
Yep.
So cod liver oil tablets and stuff that can come in there.
Yeah.
So it's a case of supplementing as and when your diet needs it, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you shouldn't start with supplements, then start eating on top of that. It's kind of, you eat your diet and then you add supplements as and where you need them.
Yeah.
It's to fill the gaps.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think, we've discussed this before. I feel like I'm going over all ground, but we'll talk about it. But I mean, I have my stack, if you will, is fish oils because I don't eat fish, greens powder because I don't eat enough veg. Even though I eat quite a lot of fruit and veg.
Yeah, but I put a post out about that the other day actually in one of my private Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't come across anyone's diet, any of my clients, that I feel eat enough green veg.
Yeah.
So I think I can probably say with confidence 99% of people listen to this and probably two who are taking on a greens powder.
Yeah, definitely I.
I don't think you can eat enough green veg, to be honest.
I know. And I think the thing is as well with the greens powder, I've never really thought about, well, I have thought about it, but I've always thought, right, come on, we're getting a bit geeky now. When it comes to the alkaline state and the acidic, being in an acidic state, but with me personally, with me not eating a lot, I do eat a lot more veg than I used to, but I've always ate a lot of meat, and meat's quite acidic.
Yeah.
So I think the greens for me is probably good for me in terms of gut health.
Yeah.
In terms of sort of neutralizing all the acid that I'll be creating from chomping down a steak for breakfast.
Yeah. Well, that's obviously when you're eating meat, you get green veg down with it.
Yeah.
If you're eating meat on your plate, you should ideally have green veg on your plate as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I generally, if I'm going to have a breakfast with steak on a breakfast, I normally have steak, a fried egg, and a little bit of veg, like, and sweet potato chips.
Yeah.
Not sweet potatoes. That's generally what I end up making. But I have a greens drink. I have fish oils. I take a probiotic when I haven't had the greens drink, because the greens drink's got it in. And I take a whey protein when required. I usually take whey protein. I normally train 5 till 6 on a night, which is the gap with my clients. I normally train 5 till 6.
Yeah.
But I've got a group in at 6 till 7. So because I've got an hour before I get home and actually eat something, that's when I usually have mine. That's when I have my shake. Or if not, if I'm travelling up to Scotland for football, I'll mix it with yogurt and have it as a snack.
It's a convenience thing as well for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people have busy lives these days. Like, I work with people that do 60, 70-hour weeks.
Yeah.
And to try and tell them to sit down and have 5, 6 meals a day, it's just impossible.
Yeah, with hitting the 7 a day. And
yeah, so especially with stuff like that, when most of them are eating out of the car.
Yeah.
So to get them to carry like a bag of spinach and stuff in the car just doesn't happen. So that's when green drinks and whey protein powders for kind of hitting your protein targets come in really handy.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would say you should be relying on them, because you shouldn't. You should be getting it from your whole foods as much as you possibly can, but it just doesn't work for everyone like that.
Yeah. What about this for I drove up to Edinburgh last night for football, right? What about this for car nutrition? I had a punnet of mango chunks.
Right.
I had a punnet of grapes. And then I had, baby bells.
Aye.
They come in this little net, right? And there's six of them in, right? And I thought, I'll have a couple of them. Convenient. I ate the fucking lot, right? So I was driving up the A1 eating this punnet of grapes with, I'm having like a bite of baby bell, bite of grapes, having this like cheese board. I'm having this most distinguished cheese board as I'm driving up the A1, cruise control, like fucking hell. I thought, oh my God, that is not great.
You're laughing though, a lot of people do that.
I know.
I've got clients that literally are on the road like 4 or 5 hours a day traveling for work, and you're literally the passenger seat is literally their diet for the day.
That's trying to get them what they can put on that seat. That's and to be fair, what I really want on that seat is packets of crisps, a big bag of sports mixtures, maybe a sandwich, like a ham and cheese sandwich or something, a bottle of Coke, and to be fair, calorifically, they're probably the same, but one's a lot better than the other, even if it's not ideal. I'll tell you what else I've been getting as well. The garage at Berwick, which is me halfway point, do these chicken on sticks.
Oh, I've seen them,
Oh my God, they're unbelievable, man. Nice. There's some that have got Chinese sauce on.
Yeah.
They're frightening. They're just too good. I spent £10 on them the other day.
Making money off them, mate.
I know.
£1.79 or something.
I got six the other day, and I thought, right, I'll have three on the way there, three on the way back. Treat myself on the way back. And I think I ate four on the way there, and I was like literally trying to like, I was putting my foot down to try and get the football quick so that I didn't eat me bait for coming home. Because I was like, I can't stop. Just out of sheer boredom, which people will be now, so we're still talking about that. Right, what was the... Oh, okay, so we've discussed supplements. I want to talk about creatine in particular. This was from my missus' sister, actually. She texted the other day. Bearing in mind, my wife is a dietitian, so when I told her, Corinne's been on today asking about her creatine, she was like, what? The fuck is she texting you for? Why should not message me about it? I was like, I don't know, because you're a dietitian and you'll say, eat healthy eating plate or something. So she says, do I need to take creatine? She was thinking about taking creatine. And I said, well, why? What is it you're wanting to do? And she was saying that she wanted to build muscle.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you... in fact, you tell me what you think first, and then I'll tell you what I said to her, and we'll see if we're...
Right, as in creatine, I see one main benefit of it, but I'll discuss a little bit more on the other benefits in a minute from what I heard from one on a course I was on a while back. Mm-hmm. But the one main benefit for me is power output.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it doesn't work with everyone.
Yeah.
I don't think it's effective for everyone, but it's definitely effective for me. I feel stronger while I'm taking creatine.
Yeah.
And obviously being stronger can then relate into building muscle a little bit quicker. It means you can lift a higher load. So on that basis, then if that's what she's kind of looking for, build muscle, she wants to be stronger. Mm-hmm. Don't know whether she kind of mentioned that. It could help, but it doesn't help for everyone. It doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah. Well, this was the question. She's in a boot camp, and really I thought, well, he should be telling you all this, but anyway, here we go.
Yeah.
Should I take creatine to help build muscle just doing boot camp, or is it more for people doing proper weight training? But I know her group training that she does is actually pretty good, and most of it is with weights. I wouldn't say it's CrossFit-esque, but a similar type of thing, but it's mostly with weights. There's a lot of doing 5 rep maxes and stuff like that. They do a lot of weight. This was my answer. Right. I said
I'll give you my quick answer.
Right, go on. Sorry,
I wouldn't have any problems with that giving it a go.
Right. Okay.
Let's see what you've come up with.
Right, I've said creatine is brilliant for increasing strength and power, and makes muscles feel fuller and look bigger because they retain water, but won't actually be muscle. So if you're bothered about your performance numbers, 1 rep maxes, etc., then yeah, it's a good supplement. But if you just want to increase muscle, then you need to have a high protein intake and a slight calorie surplus.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Would you agree with that? Or
I agree with that, let's say 99%.
Right, but the only thing I would
go against that is, if anything, obviously she can, when you power, if your power output is better,
mm-hmm.
I find that obviously I can lift heavier,
mm-hmm.
which can relate to help building bigger muscle.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
On that side of things, I know what you're saying with it makes the muscles look bigger with water. Mm-hmm. That is 100% true, and mm-hmm. it does help with your 1 rep maxes. Mm-hmm. But I think if they're doing, like, say, let's say 4 sets of 10 on something,
yeah,
she might get to the point where she can lift a little bit heavier on them 4 sets of 10
mm-hmm.
because of the creatine.
Yeah,
that would be my argument. Which, you know, obviously, if she can lift heavy on them 4 sets of 10, it might in fact help with muscle building.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Would you say that she needs to be in a calorie surplus? Because I think at the same time, what I'm conscious of, I would imagine, and I should have asked her, but yeah. I'm just going off what I know of what she's done so far. Obviously, she's me missus sister, so they talk and stuff. I would imagine that she's trying to lose fat as well.
Right. Yeah.
So what would you say? Because I know I'm of the opinion that you can lose fat and add muscle at the same time.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the same session, but yeah. in the same block of training. I'd be devastated if in 8 weeks of my clients doing my group training program, if they hadn't increased their muscle and lost fat,
yeah.
they'd get the money back, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So would you say that she needs to be in a calorie surplus or not?
It depends on how much muscle she wants to build, really. Mm-hmm. if she is in the idea if she wants to lose fat and build muscle, then I'd say no.
Right, okay. So here's her answer. I want to be actually stronger, not lose it as soon as I stop taking them. So long term, there is no point if it's not helping to build muscle, just temporary boosting what I have. What do you think of that? What would you say to her?
So she's saying it's sort that.
Of, I think from her point of view, she was thinking, well, I'm only going to take it short term. So,
right.
So is there any point? So I think my suggestion was, well, yeah, take it. I mean, I've taken creatine myself, and probably, it was probably when I was at my strongest, to be fair, and whether it was a placebo or whether it wasn't, I was probably at my strongest when I was taking creatine. But at the same time, I do think when you stop taking it, I don't think you can argue that you're going to be just as strong.
But no, I think you will see a slight decrease.
Yeah. Especially so I think her thoughts were, well, I want to take it because I want to add muscle, but then when I stop taking it, if I'm going to lose a little bit of it, then what's the point kind of thing? And I thought, well, you know, I just think she was getting a bit too, she's running before she's walking kind of thing. Like enough. I mean, from then on, I said, well, exactly, no probs. How many grams of protein you're on and what's your calories?
Yeah.
And she's saying that she's on roughly 1,400 to 1,500 calories and 140 grams of protein,
right.
which sounds okay. And I said, well, that's pretty low calorie. You know, how much do you weigh?
Yeah.
And she weighs 64 kilos.
Right.
So I worked out that me personally, I would probably have her on maybe 155, 160 grams of protein.
What we're doing? I've quickly got my phone now. Just you said 150.
She's
60, oh, she's 65.
She's 64 kilos.
64. Sorry, you can still keep chatting if you want.
It's all right, no worries, mate.
Aye.
and I had a.
I would from my very quick calculations, I would have went 165 for protein.
Right. Okay. So yeah. So we're in roughly the same ballpark. So straight away, she's sort of, you know, 15, 20, 25 grams short a day, and so I'm saying to her, well, listen, have them 25 grams of protein. Forget about creatine.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, creatine's it's pretty cheap, to be fair.
Yeah.
But still, it's you know, what's the point in supplementing creatine when your protein's short?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And if she is just going to do it short term, I don't see if there'd be a massive reason. Mike, I probably would have asked her was why she's only going to do it short term.
Mm-hmm.
As well, if she's talking about creatine.
I think it was probably just to test
it. Just because she wanted to test it, yeah.
I mean, maybe she would have went long.
I think if it had worked well for her, I think she would have just kept taking it. But
yeah. What else did we talk about?
Another thing on creatine as well, though, I can't remember for the life of us what they were, but I was in, I know you are going to go as well, I went to a nutrition seminar with Alex Ferentinos last year.
Oh, yeah.
End of last year, I knew you were trying to go and you missed out on a couple of weeks or something.
I
was discussing creatine with him, and one of the questions I actually asked him was, should women take creatine?
Mm-hmm.
Basis on the fact that most women, obviously this is might sound slightly sexist, most women are just in it to lose fat. A lot of them aren't in it to kind of build muscle because they're scared of getting bulky.
Mm-hmm.
And he was under the impression that even if the women aren't doing it for power output, they should still be taking creatine every day because of the health benefits.
Right.
What the health benefits were, have totally went across my mind.
Right.
But just something that he said that day that I always remember him saying. And there's something, obviously, I will look into and try and get the health benefits back to you, but that was something he mentioned on that day. Because that was one of my questions to him, should women take creatine? And obviously the guy's an absolute genius when it comes to nutrition, so I wanted to get an idea on it. But he recommends it to all women.
Right.
Well, or most women, should we say, for the health benefits of creatine.
Right, okay. I think it's, I'm sure there is something to do with reproductivity.
Yeah.
Hang on. I love
it. I'm honest. I don't know what they are.
I'll have a report.
The guy's got a lot more knowledge than me.
Hang on. Some boiler. Improving athletic performance. Take it for Parkinson's. Help with muscular dystrophy. For treating depression. Boost brain power. So there's a couple of things. That's off an advert, like. So it might not be the best thing to go off. Anyway, so she then was asking about basically our calories. Because like I say, for me, she's trying to put muscle on. And I think for someone that's 64 kilos and going to a boot camp, which is high intense, four times a week, she also cycles to work and back.
Yeah.
I think that's really low calories, and that was net of exercise, to be fair.
Right.
In fact, was it net? Just net.
Definitely.
So she doesn't include her exercise into that. Once she's trained and all that, she really should probably be living off maybe 900, 850 calories a day.
Yes.
And then she's trying to put muscle on.
Yeah.
So,
no,
good luck with that one. I don't think creatine's going to help there.
At least starting on more than that anyway.
Yeah.
I've just quickly worked that out on a calculator, and I would, for fat loss alone, I would have around 1,680. That's just off rough calculation, and that's just fat loss.
Yeah, I had her on,
I haven't took her age, activity level, or anything. That's just a rough guesstimate. Yeah. But 1,680, and that's just based on fat loss.
Yeah, I said for fat loss, I said 1,650 with 153 grams of protein. So we're not far off. And then she was asking about her fats and her carbs, and I said, well, basically, you know, see how it goes. You can vary those. Said to have higher carbs and fats when on training days and stuff like that. So then she said, thanks, you've earned your keep for Easter. So I'm going off for Easter. It's nice of her. So there's many, obviously, as we know, we've all got different opinions as trainers and coaches and stuff like that on how much exactly people should have. But we're in sort of singing off, you know, pretty much the same hymn sheet.
All right, well, we've just done quick calculations there. Each of them were 30 calories out. So shows we're in and around about the right area.
Exactly. Right, okay. Going off topic from the questions, I just want to talk about getting into the fitness industry. It's something that obviously I'm involved in because I run courses, online courses for people that want to get into the fitness industry who basically don't have time to take a month, 6 weeks off work and go and do a in-house course.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. It's certainly not ideal because, you know, I actually done my personal training course twice personally. The reason I done it twice was because the bloke who taught it was outstanding and was inspiring, to be fair. And I'd done the course. It was a guy called Steve Wyatt. He was from down Loughborough. He was a strength and conditioning coach. He was a Czech level two or something like that. Yeah. And just from hearing him talk, I was like, right, I need to listen to him again. Because, you know, it was just brilliant to listen to. So the second time, when I finished the course, I asked him, he was running a course straight after back-to-back. And I said, well, do you mind if I come and listen again? And he said, no, you can help us out on a few things. So I was like, you know, carrying his bags and preparing slides and like
getting him
his dinner and that. But I sort of done the course again or listened to the content again. So I don't think there's any way, shape or form that you can see an online course is anywhere near as good as actually sitting and getting taught, as you know, getting proper tutored. However, people's lives, people aren't prepared to take the risk of, right, I'm going to take a month off my work or I'm going to take 6 weeks off my work to go and sit in a classroom. Yeah. And people are wanting to do more and more stuff online. So I do that.
Even that, just on that, I would still argue even the PT courses in-house, do you really learn that much?
No. And the thing is, that do you know what it is? I was very snobby about it. Well, I have been all the way through, and I've been like, how can people qualifying in a day? Because my course was, it was every Saturday for about 10 months.
Mine was the same. I did mine in college.
That's only, what, like 40 days. So that would be like, you know, if you were full time, it's like 6 weeks, to be fair. Because it took us, was over the course of 10 months, we were getting case studies, we were reading stuff, getting, you know, a reading list to go away and do, which you don't do when it's online, and you certainly don't do it when you're in a classroom either, when it's full time. But as you say, I think you learn, or the more I've really thought about it, I've thought, you know what, get qualified. Don't think that I've seen some who qualified on the Sunday, literally the Twitter bio was studying to be a personal trainer, love fitness, whatever. Monday morning, they'd qualified, Monday morning, fat loss specialist. I'm like, you're not a fat loss specialist. You've never worked with one client. You're not a fat loss specialist. And there's too much of that. And that is, I think that's the problem.
Yeah. I was actually on about this, just to quickly interrupt you, because this was just something that's popping in my mind. I was on about this with someone yesterday. We're just talking about like how experience plays a massive part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just experience, but since I've done my personal trainer's course, I can pretty much hold my hands up and say, I probably learned about 10% of the course was new to us.
Yeah.
But since I've left the course, I've learned a lot more from reading books, being on webinars with people that know a lot more than me.
Yeah.
Being in kind of a group that I'm in at the minute, which for anyone kind of new to the PT industry might be good. It's called Lift the Bar.
Yeah. That's a guy called Chris Burgess.
Chris Burgess. Yeah. Excellent group that I'm in.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. And just going on courses, going on day courses, like obviously I just mentioned Alex Ferentinos.
Mm-hmm.
Guy's an absolute genius to sit and listen to for a day. I learned more in that day than I learned in the whole of my PT course.
Yeah.
It's like your education starts from when you get qualified.
Yeah, I think that's the key. And I think that's what I'm definitely with the students that I've got, is what I'm saying is, listen, get qualified, because then that gives you the license to go and work with people.
Yeah.
And then get the experience from working with people. Be straight up with people early on. I'm newly qualified. I want to help you. And at the end of the day, even just what you've learned on the level 3 course, you're going to be more educated than someone who hasn't.
Yeah.
So you're not going to make anyone any worse. You're only going to improve them. And then, as I've said in the last podcast, I look back at programs I wrote, you know, 8 years ago, and I cringe. I look back at programs I wrote 6 months ago, and I cringe. A couple of months ago, and I cringe, because I think, God, I could have done that so much better. But it's still better than what they would have done themselves. So you're still helping people to get results. They're still going to get results quicker than they would have by themselves. So I think you need to, like, not be... go easy on yourself a bit, and but at the same time accept that you need to learn. I mean, I've worked out now, I reckon I've done 10,000 hours of one-to-one personal training, and that's a lot. But there's coaches that have done 15,000, 20,000, like a lot more than that, and it comes with experience how to work with clients, you know, giving them time to vent the problems to your early doors.
I think you need to be really open-minded as well. Like, don't get into the point where you ever think that you know enough.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. I know more this week than I knew last week.
Yeah.
Therefore, I've got better nutrition knowledge, and I can do programs better this week because I know a little bit more than what I did last week.
Yeah.
I'm always open to learning new stuff. I'm always open to people kind of criticizing what I do as well, as long as I criticize it in the right way, and I'm opening to listen to what they actually say as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you just have to learn from all of that. Don't ever think you know enough, because even to the point where I die, I'll still be learning new stuff about the health and fitness industry.
Definitely. I mean, even just the conversation we had about creatine before, I hadn't thought about what you said in that.
Yeah.
Because you're going to lift more, then you're going to get more of a muscular cellular adaptation. And I hadn't even thought about that. It hadn't, when I was talking to her, that hadn't crossed my mind. Thinking about it now, I think, I probably should have thought of that.
But
do you know what I mean? So, definitely. So what mistakes would you say you've made? Or how did you get into the fitness industry yourself? What course did you do, or who was it with? Or
I'd done the level two gym instructing course first at Gateshead College, which was a Tuesday and Thursday night.
I'd done that exact same course.
For Tuesday, I think that was Thursday about 10 months or something.
Yeah. Who taught it?
Martin Nugent, who's actually the strength and conditioning coach for Gateshead Thunder, I think, now.
Right. Mine was Jo Buckley, who I know she teaches spin at DW in Sunderland, but I don't know what else she does, but she was good as well.
Yeah, to be honest, Martin was excellent with us. The group was quite small, which was even better.
Uh-huh.
I think there was only about 10, 12, which is quite small for them sort of groups on a night time. So that went really well. I came out of that, and then while I was doing that, I actually got offered a decent job in the bank, so I turned me kind of back on the fitness industry for a bit, based on the fact that every job I was looking at as a gym instructor was minimum wage.
Yeah.
And I couldn't leave my current job to go and do that in a council gym and be a gym instructor.
Mm-hmm.
So put off for a couple of, well, it wasn't a couple of years, it was about a year actually, and then I took me level 3 personal training. It was a kind of diploma, which includes kind of all your circuit training, your spinning, and all that sort of stuff. And I'd done that through the fitness industry, I think it was. Fitness industry education. And that was a 8-week course, if I remember rightly.
Okay.
And it was done at Body Zone in town. It was run through their gym.
Right, that's where I'd done mine as well.
pretty much got qualified the same way. Yeah, I've done that, and then I've done obviously other little bits of courses and stuff. Like, I went and done a course on working with disabled. I've done more courses on nutrition. I've done strength and conditioning courses.
Mm-hmm.
But these are all kind of add-ons. They're not really what you can do with kind of your fitness industry education stuff. I've never really done like a kettlebell course and stuff like that.
Aye.
I don't really see the need for it.
No.
The kettlebell is a dumbbell.
I know.
That's, you do everything the same with it.
That's it's one of the frustrations I've got with this course thing, actually tutoring on the courses, because on part of the courses that I have on offer are, there's a basics course, which is a combined level 2 and level 3.
Yeah.
Then I've got the diploma, which is kettlebell instructor award, suspended movement instructor, circuit training, which to me, right, suspended movement is, right, you're using the TRX, it's just an equipment piece. Kettlebell is just a piece of equipment, and if you're a level 2 or a level 3 gym instructor, you should be able to use them. And then level 2 circuits, if you can't do a circuit, you shouldn't be a personal trainer. But because I don't have those certificates myself, I've got to get somebody else to assess them.
That's right.
So it's an absolute minefield, basically. Yeah. And then the daddy, it's called, is circuit training, kettlebell, PT, level 2, and you get sort of business mentoring and personal mentoring, and you get to come and work with us and stuff like that.
See, I think the business mentoring is probably priceless. I don't know what you do on your course. Obviously, I've never looked through it.
Yeah.
But business side of personal training is something that's missing from every personal training course.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I would still say that I don't really have a business. I've got a job.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, because I thought about going down the route of, right, I want to have a scalable business. I want to be able to basically my business be running when I'm not there.
Yeah.
And that's why I had the sports therapy PT brand. But then I thought, you know what? Actually, I really love what I do, and I enjoy doing what I'm doing. So I don't mind at this moment in time having it as a job. Like, I enjoy it. So what my business mentoring is basically they'll come and work with me, and in our gym, if they're in the Northeast, and basically I'll get them to sort of, or help them get to where I am, or the route that I went down, or hopefully I'll have enough contacts to be able to take them down the route that they want to go. So if they want to do online stuff, I've done online stuff, I can help them with that. If they want to set up a website and go their own way, I've got people that can set up websites, and people that do my website. I've got a gym they can work in if they want to. If they want to work in rehabilitation, I've got people they can work with to get into rehabilitation. If they want to try and get into professional sport, I've got people that can help. Although it's an absolute fucking pain in the arse to get in professional sport, and why you'd want to, I don't know, because they all want everything for free. But you know, I've got things that I can help with. And like you say,
even the basis of getting a website set up, that's a big start.
Yeah, just having that basics of, I mean, it's part of the course, so you might as well use it. If I end up talking a load of shite and you think, oh no, I'm going to do my business a different way, that's fine, I don't care. Go off and do it if you want. But just helping people, getting leads, building an email list, stuff like that, just the basics. To basically, because I mean, I know a lot of people who are on my PT course now, and I would say there was maybe 15 people on my course. I know of one lad, Chris Ramshaw, is a very good PT. Went off and done a degree in, I think he had a degree in sports science. He went off and done a master's in physio, and he's now, I think he's an educator at one of the other training companies, I'm not sure which one. There was him, there was me, and I don't know of any other people on the course that are still a personal trainer, because it's you can qualify, and again, you've got people advertising themselves as fat loss specialists on the Monday. Once they've tried to train the mum and dad, and they've tried to get a couple of friends on, they're like, oh shit. And then it's like, oh wait, people aren't going to pay 35 quid an hour for training.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And then they just panic and they're out the business, they're out the company, out the job, and they've wasted a couple of grand. Whereas You know, I mean, I've had people who have said, oh, it's a couple of £1,000, that's quite a lot for a course. And I went, well, if you were going to do like welding or plumbing or something like that, it would cost just as much, if not more. And, you know, you can sell one group, you can sell five blocks of personal training, it's paid for itself.
If I'm honest, I think that's very cheap to get qualified in something that's classed as professional.
Exactly.
In the space of 6 to 8 weeks.
Exactly. Very cheap.
I think it's insane how cheap it is now to get qualified as personal trainer. How
I've seen PT courses, and I mean, I'm new to educating. I mean, I qualified as an educator last year. Went down London, done my course. I've had five students through with me. And I'm new to it. And the cheapest course that I do is 1,495. That's for level two and level three.
Yeah.
Personal tutoring and mentoring. I've seen that course getting sold for 700-800 quid.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why they would sell it for, or why they would even bother to do it. Do you know what I mean? No, I don't understand them as a business, why they want to try and show personal trainers. I mean, they want personal trainers to go out and get clients that are going to pay them good money to be able to earn a living, but they're trying to show the trainers from the very start that cheap's the way to go.
Yeah, you've got to be in the fitness industry, you've got to be willing to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
If you're investing money in yourself, then you have no problem with charging what you're charging for personal training.
Yeah.
Because you know how much you're paying out for your knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, I've spent more money on courses that haven't got his qualifications than I have, well, apart from my degree, like, but I've spent more money on workshops, seminars and all that than I have on, like, I've done a GP referral course with 650 quid. I've done seminars with nutritionist things like with Paul Check and stuff, qualifications or certificates of attendance that have been there, but they don't actually count for anything. But I've spent more on them than I have on my GP referral certificate, which is supposed to be able to get you to work with people of you know, special conditions and stuff.
That
course was shit. It's absolutely
after that
shit.
Same certificate. Do you know what I mean? I'm still not confident in working with them people.
Aye.
I wouldn't work with them people.
I don't think I would want to. I don't think I would enjoy that. But, I mean, for some, it's great. But I thought that certificate was a total load of bullshit.
Yeah.
Every single condition was basically the same. Light intensity cardio, light intensity weights 3 times a week. It was a load of shit.
Yeah. But, anyone that's got a condition, the program was the same.
Which I only realised halfway through the course. Every time I turned the page, I was like, well, did we not do this yesterday? Oh, no, this is a different... Anyway, so that's a rant for another day. But I've spent more money on courses that wouldn't get us any kind of industry recognition at all.
Yeah.
But they've been worth it because I've gotten to listen to the actual guy. I've gotten to listen to someone who's been there and done it.
I'd recommend once people get qualified, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Hate to go and listen to people that know more than you.
Yeah, definitely. And like you say, people trying to blag their way through or think that they know it all from day one, like you're in for a shock, like, because you'll not last long.
No, but you see so many. There's so many people last 6 months in this industry that it's not even worth kind of speaking about that side of things, to be honest.
But, you know, if anyone does want to become a personal trainer, get yourself on over to stevenshawpt.com and have a look at the courses on there. Probably just put you off, like.
Maidenpitch.com.
And probably just put everyone off because it's absolutely a hard job to get.
No,
you get texts at 10 o'clock at night asking, what should I have for my tea? And you think, fucking hell, man, just eat some of it. But,
I understand that right from the beginning, it's not an easy career.
Aye.
Because if they're going in with that mindset, then it is a waste of time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been asked to do it. I mean, for people that don't know, I've got a degree in sports therapy and a foundation degree in sports training and rehab. And I left school with no qualifications at all. because I was joining the Navy, and I thought I'd applied and been accepted to join the Navy before I'd left school, which was the biggest mistake they could have done, because I didn't need any qualifications, and I thought, oh well, fuck school, I'm going to be in for 22 years, I'll retire at 40, I'll not give a fuck.
Yeah.
Little did I know, I'd come out two and a bit years later, and I need to find a job, and I've got no qualifications. So I had to use my personal training qualification to actually get onto my degree, and I've got a degree in sports therapy and sports training, and that's took us down the route that I've ended up in, doing rehab predominantly. But I've actually been asked to talk at my old uni next week about sort of my career in sports therapy and how I'm getting to where I am and stuff like that, which is quite strange.
Could be recognised with stuff like that, though. It's good. I like seeing the right people get recognised to do stuff like that.
It is nice. It was unexpected to be asked. But going back to from your level 2 courses and your level 3, because the PT community is quite small. Like, how many people are on your PT course are doing what you are PTing now in the area?
None that I know of.
I mean, like I say, there's one that I know of on mine. And then going into uni, looking at people that I went to uni with who all graduated as sports therapists, and I think there's been 2 or 3 who've actually made a career out of it. Yeah. And the rest have gone on to do other, well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but they've had to get other jobs, but they've spent probably getting in about 30 grand's worth of student debt for a start to graduate in a career that you have to really care about, because it's caring for people, and they haven't been able to make a career out of it. And the reason for that is because they've probably thought that once 1st of June's come round, they've passed their exams, 2nd of June they're looking for jobs, they're searching for sports therapist jobs, there's none, and they thought, shit, there's no jobs, I've got to pay the bills, and they've had to go and get a normal job. Whereas I've been able to sort of, I don't want to use the word hustle, but I've been able to make a career, carve a career out for myself to be able to do it. And, you know, uni have come back and asked us to talk about it, and I'm definitely going to talk about, you know, how hard it is and how basically from, you know, these are all sort of last year, they're graduating this year, and I'm going to be telling them, like, from the 1st of June, you're all unemployed. You need to get your heads around the fact that you're unemployed from the 1st of June. You need to grow up. You need to decide if you're going to go on to do a master's and you're going to do something else, or if you want to make a career out of sports therapy or personal training, because I think they do the PT qualification as well, that they're going to have to graft, and they're going to have to get a mentor. They're going to have to, you know, really.
No, mine definitely wasn't easy. Just to give you some idea of how hard I found the first 6 months of kind of deciding I was going to try and make a career of personal training.
Mm-hmm.
The first 6 months, I must have easily thought about quitting 10 times.
Yeah.
In the winter, it was snowing. Of the first year I qualified, I was walking around the streets putting leaflets through doors myself.
Yeah.
Literally, me and my family walking through the streets, putting leaflets through people's doors, advertising me boot camps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd done everything myself. Like, literally, my whole website was most of me setting stuff up. And it was a 24 hours a day, constantly trying to get clients through the door.
Yeah.
And because no one knows who you are, it's even harder. Yeah. Obviously, after you get your first 5-10 personal training clients, you can probably You've got a career out of it, because it's kind of referrals after that.
Yeah.
I don't do much advertising now. Most of my stuff that comes through the door is referrals.
Mm-hmm.
But them first 5 to 10 clients, you're going to graft for them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I was quite lucky in the time it was when I done mine. I was actually already working as a gym instructor in the gym. That I then went and started personal training in. So I had quite a lot of relationships built up in the gym that I was in. And it was quite a, I wouldn't say a posh club, but there was a bit of money there. There was people, and there was a personal training sort of culture in the club. So there was always clients. And it was hard at first, but it got to a point where you got results with one person, and like you say, with referrals, you were basically, it was, to be honest, early doors, it was like shooting fish in a barrel, because everyone wanted to be seen with a personal trainer, whether they were getting results or not. And it was, I mean, now obviously we've gone through a recession and that, but at the time, like, everyone's houses were booming, everyone was doing well, and it was really easy. But then when I went to uni and I was doing it on the side, it was quite hard to sort of keep your feet, because I mean, it's such a fast paced business. There's new PTs cropping up all the time, thanks to people like me who were putting them through. And there's only so many people that go around, so you need to be good at what you do. You need to get results, but also you need to market well. You need to position yourself well, and you need not to be a dickhead, because there's loads of them.
The things that I would say: get results, get good at marketing, and be yourself.
Yeah.
Right from the off, rather than trying to be like every other personal trainer, because then you're jumping into the same ballpark as all of them. And what you want to try and do is separate yourself from all of them.
Yeah.
And it's obviously finding the ways to do that. But the first way to do that is just be yourself.
Yeah. Take your warts and all. Because that's the thing. I mean, you don't want clients who think you're something that you're not. Because they'll sure find out that you're not like that. I mean, that's why I'm like, I think I'm myself, like. I am the way that I am, and I mean, my mates even say that I'm Marmite. I mean, I fall out with my mates all the time. Best mates probably don't like me. Do you know what I mean?
If they weren't my best mate,
they wouldn't be my mate.
The thing, by being like that, though, you attract the clients that you get on with.
Aye.
And you don't attract the clients that are going to be the ones that you stand in during a session, you've literally got nothing to discuss, and it's the whole kind of awkward silence and stuff like that. Like,
PT sessions can be enjoyable. Aye, I love it.
Working out can be enjoyable.
I love it now. But yeah. I have had clients in the past who I would rather fucking... I'm going to say it. I'd rather lick me nan out than work with someone. Because they're just absolute arseholes. And maybe they're not arseholes, but they're just not my cup of tea. Yeah. And I've thought, oh, I've got her in at 11. The thing is, I can't enjoy it. They can't get results from that, because I'm not giving 100%.
Yeah.
What were you saying there? Sorry, mate.
That one client can literally spoil your whole day.
Aye.
Because you're not looking forward to that 1 hour.
Aye.
Which is when you get further down the lines of personal trainer. When obviously I went first out there, I would have worked with everyone and their dog to get money in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what most people will do. Trying to tell people not to do that is probably just a bit stupid, because people will take anyone.
Yeah.
When you get further down the line, you need to be more selective. Like, your consultation that you have with clients is kind of a consultation for you to get to know them, as well as them to get to know you, and see if it's a good fit.
It's like a job interview, isn't it?
Yeah. And then it's like that.
Why would you want to work with the company? Question that's in job interviews, but really the job interviewer is asking them, why do I want you? Yeah. But to be fair, when you're in the interview, you're thinking, well, do I want the job?
Yeah. And it's like, if the worst comes to the worst, you can refer out. There's plenty of personal trainers.
Yeah.
You say, look, I haven't, you probably have to come up with a little bit of an excuse that I can't fit your times in, but I know such and such might be able to work with you.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that happens as well, though. If, as I said before, if you're being yourself, you tend to only attract the people that you get on with anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I love the people that I work with now. I'm in a position now where I can say to people, nah, I'm full, if I don't want to work with them.
Yeah.
I can basically work my business around the times I want to work. I know if I say I've got 9, 10, 11 in the morning, they'll be gone. If I say I want to work 5, 6, and 7 on a night, they'll be gone.
Yeah.
And I know the people that are going to work with are going to be people that I want to work with.
Yeah, it's a great career to work in if you're willing to put the work in. Like, you can actually, you can pick your own working hours, you can pick who you work with. And that's kind of, over the years, that's kind of the position you get to. And now, everyone I work with, I actually get on with.
Yeah.
Everyone I work with, I would probably even go around, down to the point of saying that probably friends. Even though they weren't friends before they came in the door, I speak to them that much, and I got on with them that well, that they're all probably friends.
Yeah.
And that's how well I get on with them.
Definitely. Right, mate, it's an hour. I was expecting that. We had three questions, and I was expecting it to last 10 minutes. We've had a rant.
Mate, you know me, I love rants. I know. Could go on for hours.
In a way, I hope no one listens. I've said some stuff that I probably shouldn't have, but who goes to fuck? But, right, mate.
As you said, have you got it's
about any, being yourself. Any projects coming up or anything you want to talk about? Any
projects coming up?
Have you got any pitches?
Up?
If you want to hire out a blatant pitch, you hire out a blatant pitch, my friend.
I haven't got a blatant pitch to chuck out yet, but I am in the middle of putting a new website design together, in which is pretty much going to be aimed at online clients.
Right, okay.
Because as in face-to-face, I'm fully booked.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to try and help more people by doing online training as well, so that'll be coming along pretty soon.
Cool.
Hopefully by the end of the month.
Brilliant. For me, my blatant pitch, I don't have any... My group training's full... me hashtag Lasses Who Lift programs pretty much full. Me personal training's full, my rehab's full. All I've got available is people wanting to become personal trainers. Basically, I'm hoping to do more courses. I love it. I love helping people get into the industry. It's class. So anyone that's interested, stephenshawpt.com, go to the courses bit on the page, and there's a put your email address in there, and I'll hook you up with the info. And apart from that, mate, that's me done. We'll get back in touch in a couple of weeks and do some more question and answers, eh?
Alright.
Cool, mate.
That's a whack for today.
No bother. Arrivederci, my friend. See you later, mate. Ta-ra, have a good weekend. Ta-ra.